WFXX.
Put together.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Foxy Knowledge.
And we are off and running on a thrilling Thursday, or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Very pleasant. Good morning. It's Let's Talk. That's the name of the program. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox is the name of the radio station. My name is Jeff Byers. This fellow over here, his name is Scott Giese.
Hello.
And you.
And you.
The lucky folks listening can join the program. How?
How?
Well, you could bring in some fresh baked goods at 341 Science Park Road.
I like that.
That would be the preferred method, actually.
Sweet 200, by the way. Yeah.
Yes. Come on in. Bring those baked goods with you, and we'll let you just saddle right up to the microphone here. potentially, the less preferred option would be you could call in at 814-954-7266. But I think we really got to push this bring baked goods to the studio idea. I think we're on to something magical here.
Only if we can get it done every day. There we go.
That would be wonderful. You can also call 814-954-7266 if you wish to join the big show this morning.
All right, there we go. We got a busy show.
Oh, we are busy.
Buckle the seatbelt. All right, if you're driving or not, if you're at home at the office, just buckle the seatbelt, all right? We have two guests that will be joining us later. Later this hour, Jason Narber from Brass 16823 is going to join us. Now, that's not a band. It sounds like a band, doesn't it? A little bit.
It would be a good band.
All right. Actually, it's a pretty cool, meeting place near Axeman, the old Titan Park.
Yep.
Again, I love what those folks are doing with that property. It could have just, the factory, whatever, could have just closed and the place would have just rusted to death. It would have been an eyesore. Ecological blah blah or whatever. No, they've been fixing up the place, and it's a really neat place to go. And one of the places in there is Brass 16823. And so via our friends from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, we're going to have Jason on for a segment to talk about this pretty cool place. So that's kind of neat. And then next hour, I have no idea what's going to happen next hour. Our friend Sean Stevens from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, is going to join us. Again, we've had Sean on before. When we originally booked Sean, it was for their new college free speech rankings, which just got released last week. And, of course, Penn State being in the backyard, we wondered, okay, according to these folks, how are they doing and so on. And then we've had the past week. And then we had yesterday, all right, Jimmy Kimmel's show pulled from television. Like, oh, my gosh. And this is all tied to free speech. And so, a lot of it is. All right, come on. FIRE.
I think Jimmy Kimmel's is more related to ratings. I think they were looking for the out, and he gave it to them.
Oh, that's a thought. That's a thought.
They are hemorrhaging at this point. Yeah.
But FIRE has been, FIRE has been very busy. I mean, they've been issuing comments, in all directions. In all directions. Which is interesting. So this is going to be a really interesting conversation with Sean. This is going to go way beyond college free speech rankings. Going to be interesting. So stay tuned for that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. All right. Let's see. Weather-wise, warmer today. Oh, it's going to get into the 80s today. Hello. All right.
Hello, 80s.
You warmer weather people. There you go. Of course, it's dry. Now, at my house, I haven't mowed the lawn in a while.
I can remedy that situation.
What?
The dry part. I brought my bottle of gin into the studio here. I won't be dry much longer, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, wonderful.
Is that not the direction?
That'll make the show even more.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's going to be a dandy today.
If it wasn't the medicated drink, now it's this other thing. Okay, I can't wait.
Nothing starts your day quite like a good gin and tonic. Am I right, kids?
Okay.
Come on.
Kids? Okay, kids, you're not listening.
Get those limes sliced. Stop. Let's go.
Holy mackerel. Okay. I think I'm going to have to mow this weekend.
Yeah.
Not so much for the grass. Where I live, we have a large yard, very large, and we have some large deciduous trees. Now, that would be, we're going back to school now, folks, that would be leaf-bearing trees. Now, some of our leaf-bearing trees are still very green. We have one tree in particular. I'm not a tree expert, no idea. This tree, first off, changes the leaf colors very, I would say, early. And so it started changing colors, oh my.
Like 3 a.m., 2 a.m., even earlier than
that? How about a couple of weeks ago?
What?
Okay. It started changing, and then it, for whatever reason, this one particular tree drops its leaves early. I expect this tree could be bare by Sunday. And so
it drops its leaves the way I used to drop math classes at Penn State, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, come on.
Why am I not surprised? Okay. So a portion of my lawn right now, I can't even see the lawn because it's covered with leaves. I mean, there's like colored, like red and yellow and so colored leaves everywhere. And I'm thinking, okay, even this is a little earlier than usual. So I may have to get out my lawn tractor for the weekend, turn it into a giant leaf blower, and start blowing leaves to like a spot and so on. Because, and I assume the dry weather has something to do with this. All right, again, I'm not a tree expert, no idea, but there's like leaves everywhere. And this tree is, I swear, it's going to be, if we had a decent wind, I think that would absolutely be bare by Sunday. Now, my other trees are still green. They're still holding their leaves, you know, all that sort of thing. But with the dry weather, yeah, maybe sooner. We haven't really talked much about, you know, fall foliage. And, you know, obviously we have a lot of areas in the region that are just gorgeous in the fall. Going to happen sooner this year because of the dry weather? Maybe. So, you know, keep all that stuff in mind. Okay, we have homecoming parades today, plural.
Multiple.
There we go.
That's crazy.
The two in particular. Now, do you do anything with the State College homecoming parade?
Well, not this year. We have rock climbing, so we are.
All right, okay, that's cool.
We're out tonight.
All right.
Which is causing some consternation in our house, but we made a commitment, and we've had some other issues that we haven't been able to get to lately, so... Yeah, normally we do attend. We've been on floats before, but this year we're out.
Okay. Well, the State College Homecoming Parade is this evening. The Penns Valley Homecoming Parade is this evening. Now, yours truly has been the parade announcer for, I don't know, years. The big difference between the two.
Multiple years.
State College has to close down streets for their homecoming parade.
Right.
Penns Valley for years now has been doing their parade inside the Grange Fairgrounds. So you don't have to close anything. And it's a really fun event. Vendors come and sell pizza and food. Local community groups are there. Somebody does chicken corn soup. Somebody has sodas. Somebody makes pies. Somebody has desserts. I mean, it's really cool. It's a really neat event, so I'm looking forward to the homecoming parade. They have a parade with floats and the band and fire companies show up and all that sort of stuff. There are judges, so they give away some prizes. And then after the parade at the grandstand there at the Grange Fair, we essentially have a big pep rally. So we recognize all the fall sports teams, and the football team gets recognized, and the cheerleaders are there, and the band plays. It's really neat. And the weather is obviously cooperating today, so that'll be a lot of fun. Homecoming week for some high schools here. Okay, folks, did you wave to the asteroid as it flew by?
Hello, asteroid.
Did you wave to it? Now, if you're not familiar with this, an asteroid, and all these asteroids, I guess, have names, all right, or numbers. This one was called Asteroid 2025 FA22.
A.K.A. Billy Bob. I call it Billy Bob.
I kind of like Billy Bob better.
Hey, right. Billy Bob!
Now, excuse me, our official people, whoever do this, only discovered this asteroid, I think, like a few months ago, is when they first discovered this thing. Otherwise, they didn't know it was out there.
In fairness, Billy Bob is one of the best hide-and-seek players ever. Okay. So no wonder it takes a while to find out where Billy Bob is. Well, I can believe that.
Well, we've been following Billy Bob for a few months now.
God, like you need to tell me.
And Billy Bob flew past the Earth. flew past the Earth.
Tipped his cap.
I don't know if he has a cap, but...
buttoned up the other side of his suspenders. No. The one side was just hanging down there. Look ridiculous, Billy Bob. Come on!
Okay, he's making this up now.
What are you talking about? We must be talking about different aspects.
If I got my timing right, Billy Bob flew past the Earth this morning at 3:40 a.m. Eastern. So, in other words, 4.5 hours ago, Billy Bob flew right by.
I had it at 3:39 and 42 seconds, but,
well, it's actually 3:41.
It was.
So, you're wrong. You missed. Now, if you're like, oh, my gosh, an asteroid. All right, first off.
Chance my clock was off.
This asteroid flew past us, I think, at about 500,000 miles away. Now, the moon is roughly 240,000 miles away.
Like we had it measured at 499,098.
Don't do that.
Yeah, you might be.
Billy Bob was not that particular.
Well,
so Billy Bob was like twice as far away as the moon. So were we in danger? No. Okay. Now at some point, apparently, Billy Bob will swing back around again, I think.
As Billy Bob is wont to do.
Yeah. Now this might not be until. What did I see? Like
Billy Bob probably saw the moon. When Billy Bob sees a moon, he tends to come back and check it out. That's been our experience.
Doing
over
the moon.
Years.
Okay, very nice. I think around 2080, Billy Bob may make a return appearance.
Sounds about right.
So if you want to hang around for, what would that be, 55 years or something to see Billy Bob come swinging around again. Okay.
I'll give him another wave.
All right, I noticed this. All right, we're liking this. It's National Cheeseburger Day.
Hey.
National Cheeseburger Day.
We're talking.
Now, I'm not sure. Somebody does burgers at the homecoming parade tonight. Maybe I'll get a cheeseburger tonight. National Cheeseburger Day. Now, are there some restaurants doing a special today? Maybe. I don't have any notes on that. But maybe there's some, chain restaurant or local restaurant that's doing some type of a cheeseburger special. What do they call it? A smash burger? Smash. They smash all the stuff in a burger?
That's right.
That sounds really tasty. So, happy National Cheeseburger Day. All right. Very nice. Okay. smart glasses. If you say so, Mark Zuckerberg, all right, the Facebook or Meta big wig did a big intro yesterday for their, I guess, new and improved smart glasses. And he played it up big. He says this is a, quote, huge scientific breakthrough. Okay. Now, if you didn't see this yesterday, I mean, these are glasses, and they look, I guess they have a deal with Ray-Ban that makes the fancy sunglasses.
Uh-huh.
And they look stylish, I guess. Okay. It says here, the glasses let users see messages and watch videos.
That's right.
On a high-resolution screen. Now, this is while you're wearing the glasses, I guess, I don't know, walking around, hopefully not driving and other stuff, things just sort of pop up on the lenses of your glasses. These are controlled by hand gestures via a wristband that you have to wear. So you're wearing glasses and a wristband. And I guess you move your wrist in a certain way, and things come popping up in the glasses. Okay, all right. Now, Meta, again, Zuckerberg is an interesting fellow. I mean, he's the guy that founded Facebook, which really, really got social media rolling. I mean, it did 20 years ago. And he's a smart guy. And, of course, he's super rich. I mean, he's got piles, mountains of money someplace. And he likes to, I don't know, tinker and experiment with things, which sometimes don't exactly work. Okay, like his, it used to be Facebook, and then they changed the name to Meta. And back then, several years ago, he was all into virtual reality. I was like, oh, this is the future. Here we go. And so they made the virtual reality goggles and all that sort of stuff. Well, that hasn't exactly taken off. All right. So now he's, you know, trying some other things. And so now we have these special Ray-Ban glasses where he's trying to integrate Meta AI tools into users' lives. Okay, folks, do you need tools integrated into your life?
Oh, do I ever.
Right up there with right up there with the G&T. All right, there we go. Now, of course, people will review these things. And so there's a media outlet called The Verge. I've seen some of their stuff. And one reviewer from The Verge says, these are, quote, the best I've ever tried. All right, this was a gal. She said, I've been a smart glasses skeptic for many years, but for the first time she feels, quote, consumer smart glasses might really take off. Okay. Now, Scott here, all right, I've been wearing glasses since I was in third grade, all right? My eyesight has never been the best. It just, I don't know why, it just hasn't. So I've been wearing glasses, like regular glasses, for, oh my gosh, almost 55 years now. So if I would get a set of these, and I'd like to try it.
Sure.
I'm not going to buy these, but I'd like to try them just to, okay, what happens and so on. Now, Mr. Ironhead, you don't wear glasses, all right? Looks like your eyesight is mostly okay.
Well, no, I have contacts.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I do.
I didn't even know that.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I've had them for a very long
would
time.
Would you wear these glasses? Would you try these? Would you try them? Again, you move your wrist a certain way, and boop, things come popping up right on the lenses. So first off, you'd have to get used to wearing glasses, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Instead of this is not contact lenses. This would be glasses.
Yeah.
Would you
probably the contacts are coming at some point, I'll bet.
It doesn't sound all that...
No? Not your speed?
Intriguing to me, no.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I'll never say never, I guess, but yeah, I'm good.
Now, I did not dig deep enough into the story to see, okay, how much do these cost? Well, clearly it's going to be hundreds and hundreds of dollars for you to get so-called smart glasses. And the part about you can watch videos on your glasses, do I want to watch videos, like, right on my glasses? No. I want to watch a video, I'll grab a phone or go find a TV or something like that. Do I need to watch videos while I'm walking down the street? And of course, if you're doing that, now think about this. If you're doing that, you're walking down the street with these fancy glasses on and you're watching a video. First off, you're probably watching the video, not necessarily watching what's in front of you. All right, you're walking along. Doot, 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 doot. How many times have we seen videos of kids, usually, they got their nose in their phone, and they walk right into something?
Oops. I see it quite a bit with adults, to be honest.
Adults too, that's true.
Yeah.
All right? How many people have done that? Like, oops, you know, boom. Now you're supposed to wear a pair of glasses. Yes, you can see through the glasses, okay, but still, if you're distracted, you're watching a little video on the one side of the glasses, you're not exactly paying attention to what's in front of you. So I don't know about
problematic.
I don't know about the smart part. Mm-hmm. It's like, can we overdo it with technology, Mark Zuckerberg? Maybe. But this is his latest, like pet project. Okay. Well, good luck with that. We'll see what happens. All right. As expected yesterday, the Fed cut interest rates. Oh, we should all celebrate. All right. Finally, they should have done this a while back. One man's opinion.
Yeah.
All right. Now, they only did a quarter point, which was expected. I guess the new Fed governor, who literally, I guess this week, just got appointed, who is a Trump pick, he was the only person that voted for a half point. Now, they did kind of hint yesterday, well, we may be cutting rates more. And so now the experts, watch out for them, all right, they think that there may be more rate cuts in the next meeting is next month in October, and then there would be one in December. And so maybe a quarter point in October, maybe a quarter point in December. Again, the job market right now, we now finally realize, has been clunking along for the last 2 years, despite what earlier figures told us, which apparently turned out to be totally bogus, like way, way off. The job market is just sort of stuck there. And so the idea is, okay, if we can finally start cutting interest rates again so that people don't have to pay so much whatever debt they have, that maybe somehow that will pick up the job market. Now, the Fed always has its eye on inflation and the fear from some people, if you cut interest rates, that means people are going to start shopping again or over shopping again or something, and that's going to drive up interest rates. Or, inflation rates. Well, let's see what happens. Of course, it takes some time really to kind of figure that stuff out. It doesn't, normally like bang, happen in a week. It might take a couple of months. So the Fed has this next meeting sometime in October, I assume about a month from now. And so we'll see if they once again cut by a quarter point. Again, it's easy to blame the Fed, like, you guys waited too long. Well, they did. Part of that, though, might be they had inaccurate information to go off of. We all did. We were all told all these glowing, nice numbers, and then later on, actually, that's not even close.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Whoopsie daisy.
A big, giant whoops. So maybe, the Fed, as far as I know, goes by the same numbers that we see. So that would be a reason, well, we better slow down. Well, we better not do that yet. If we had gotten the numbers right to begin with, that maybe this sort of stuff would have happened sooner. I don't know. Not an economist, not an expert, just somebody with my eyes open. And, well, we'll see. So hopefully if you've got, like, credit card debt or, bank debt, variable rate mortgage and so on, I'll be curious to see how quickly those entities, MasterCard and Visa, how quickly they start lowering their interest rate. It should be, I would think, immediate. Probably not. Probably going to be a little while before they make the actual change. But keep an eye on that, all right? So we're wasting less money. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have our sports segment. Again, Jason Narber from Brass 16823, really cool place, going to join us for a segment. Whole lot of free speech talk in the 9 o'clock hour. And, folks, I tell you what, there are so many things. I've almost half-joked that we're living in crazy times, I've said. I'm going to change that to we're living in dangerous times. And I say that with all seriousness. And depending on what free time we have later on in the show, we'll touch on a couple of those. Just like, oh boy, where the heck are we going? All right, let's take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel. But a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Fine looking Thursday at that.
Yeah, we'll have some open phone time later in the program, last segment this morning. Lots of guests coming up, lots of good discussion coming up. By the way, if you have topic ideas, and we had a topic idea suggested from a beloved listener, and I'm going to be reaching out. It is a wonderful contact. We will be reaching out, and we're going to get that arranged sooner rather than later. But if you have an idea, boy, you know, I know about this interesting person or this interesting event. Boy, those guys ought to be talking about that. Well, let us know.
Yes.
Let us know about it and provide the contact information if you have it. We are happy to pass along anything of interest going on in our little neck of the woods. All right, let's take a check of the sports scene, shall we?
We shall.
Well, this did not go the way I was wanting it to go last night at Rec Hall. 13th ranked Penn State women's volleyball team falling in four sets to 5th ranked Pitt. Ugh. Panthers prevailed 25-23, 25-17, 23-25, and 25-17. Pitt has now reeled off 8 straight victories after opening the season with back-to-back losses. Penn State falls to 4-4 on the season now. Kennedy Martin had 16 kills and 5 digs to lead Penn State. Emmy Selman added 11 kills and 8 digs for the Nittany Lions. Penn State will next host the Penn State Classic this weekend. The Nittany Lions will open up on Friday against Princeton at Rec Hall. That match will get underway at 7 o'clock. The 8th-ranked Penn State women's soccer team has a big one tonight. Penn State will host Nebraska at Jeffrey Field. That would be undefeated Nebraska coming in. Nittany Lions playing their second of the 3-game homestand to open up conference play this season. Kickoff at Jeffrey Field is set for 6 p.m. The game will be televised by the Big Ten Network. Penn State is 5-2-1 on the year, 1-0 in Big Ten games. Nebraska comes in at 5-0-3, 0-0-1 in Big Ten games this season. The Penn State team's also capturing some weekly honors. Penn State's Florence Karen has been named the Big Ten Women's Cross Country Athlete of the Week. Karen, winning the Harry Grove Spike Shoe Invitational at the Penn State Golf Courses last week with a time of 19 minutes, 54.7 seconds. Penn State will be back in action on Friday, October 3rd, at Lehigh's Paul Short Run. And Penn State's Brianna Baldy has been named the Big Ten Women's Tennis Player of the Week. She posted a 3-0 mark in singles play and 2-1 doubles action at the Debbie Southern Fall Classic in South Carolina over the weekend. The Penn State men's and women's swimming and diving teams have announced the schedule for the upcoming season. Head coach Holly Bonewit-Crone releasing the schedule yesterday. 4 home meets at McCoy Natatorium in the 25-26 season. That season will get underway with the annual blue and white meet on Friday, September 26th at 3:30 p.m. Penn State will face St. Bonaventure on Thursday, October 9th at 3 p.m. and Yale on Saturday, October 18th. The Yale meet will also serve as senior day for the Nittany Lions. Team will travel to face in-state rival Pitt October 24th and 25th. That will include the diving portion on the 24th and the swimming part on the 25th. Penn State will also visit Army West Point on November 7th, and we'll visit Princeton with Virginia Tech on January 24th and West Virginia on January 30th. The Nittany Lions will wrap up the home slate with a matchup against George Washington on Saturday, January 31st at 1 p.m. Penn State will also go to the Ohio State Invitational November 18th through the 21st. The Toyota U.S. Open, December 3rd through the 6th. The Ohio State First Chance Meet, February 13th and 14th, and the Fort Lauderdale Open, April 29th through May 3rd. The Women's Swimming and Diving Championships for the Big Ten will be held February 18th through the 21st in Minneapolis, Minnesota, while the Big Ten Men's Swimming and Diving Championships will be in Madison, Wisconsin, February 25th through the 28th. The women's team will also compete at the Bulldog Last Chance Meet, which will be hosted by Georgia. On February 28th through March 1st, the men's team will compete at the Last Chance Meet on March 7th and 8th. Checking high school results that we have from yesterday, Penns Valley's girls soccer team, they had it going yesterday, Mr. Gazy.
Yes, they did.
A 9-0 victory in Spring Mills over Phillipsburg Osceola. Senior Ellie Romig leading the Lady Rams attack with four goals, including a hat trick in the first 22 minutes of the game. Also, Elle Dingus, Taylor Holman, Olivia Holman, Miley Hubler, and Kaylin Federoff, all scoring for Penns Valley. Rams now with a couple of wins and a tie over the last four outings. Picking up some steam, Mr. Gazy.
There we go.
Also, the Belfont JV football team lost to Bishop Guilfoyle 41-10 in junior high football action. Well, Belfont seemed to have it going. The Belfont A team beat Huntington 62-14.
Oh my.
The B team, Belfont shuts out Huntington 40-0.
Ooh.
That is
wow.
A good job
yeah.
by the youngsters for Belfont. Not doing such a good job, your Pittsburgh Pirates. Ladies and gentlemen, the good news is we only have like a week and a half.
Week and
a few days left to endure in the 2025 campaign. The Pirates are limping to the finish line in the Major League Baseball season. Wild first inning yesterday. It was an entertaining first. Cubs put up four runs in the top of the first. And then the Pirates answered. Joey Bart with a three-run homer in the bottom of the inning. It's like, all right, well, here we go. Well, there they went. Chicago goes on to the 8-4 victory to complete the three-game series sweep. Pittsburgh has now lost 11 of its last 12 games, if you're still counting. The Cubs, meanwhile, with the win, clinching a playoff berth for this season. Ian Happ homered and drove in three runs to lead the Cubs offense. Along with Joey Bart's three-run homer, Andrew McCutchen drew a bases-loaded walk in the second to account for the Pirates scoring. Mercifully, the Pirates have today off.
Yay! Ring the bell.
You don't have to watch a doggone thing, even if you're a diehard Pirates fan today. They will open a three-game series against the Athletics at PNC Park. This will be the final three games of the home schedule for the Pittsburgh Pirates in the 2025 campaign.
So they're on the road all next week.
They hit the road for the final six games of a miserable season. Another miserable season. The question is, will Paul Skeens win the Cy Young Award? He's got a very, very strong case. We'll find that out after the season concludes. The Phillies dropped the series finale to the Dodgers last night 5-0. Philadelphia says, who cares? We won the series. We're going to be the number one overall seed in the National League playoffs. We're rolling. We're going to get some folks that have been injured back for the postseason, and we're ready to roll. They, I don't think, are very fazed by the loss last night. Again, Penn State football does not have a game this Saturday. If you're looking at the schedule, it's a bye week, and they don't play a game. It's like an extra week to prepare
yes.
for the Big Ten opener.
Oh, who are they playing again in the
Green.
Looks like the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, green team.
Are they ranked by any chance? They're ranked fourth in one poll, sixth in the other. Be like an average of five. So this could be like a top five matchup with the Nittany Lions being number two in all. Both teams are 3-0 at the moment. Oregon will face heated rival Oregon State. On Saturday.
Who is terrible this year.
But it's a rivalry game, Casey.
Yes,
anything can happen
that's
in a rivalry game.
Okay, there you go.
Especially an Oregon blowout victory could happen. That game will be on Saturday. I think that's a late afternoon game, actually, Eastern time. But Penn State and Oregon will face off a week from Saturday. It is a whiteout game at Beaver Stadium. Kickoff will be at 7:30. And my understanding is there are a couple of folks that are planning to go up to the stadium and wear white for the contest.
Just a couple.
It could be in the hundreds before. Oh. By the time the game rolls around, we could have hundreds of folks.
Hundreds.
Getting together and doing this.
Hundreds and hundreds.
Now, I've been talking to some friends, and they have this idea. They're thinking, listen, it's a 7:30 kickoff. What if we go up before the game even starts, like maybe 3-4 hours even before the game begins, bring some food, maybe bring some beverage, get together with some other friends, and just have like a get-together. I don't know, like a, well, you could do it at the back of your vehicle, like a tailgate would be the terminology you could come up
Interesting
with.
Interesting idea.
Now, this also has a chance, like we could have hundreds of people doing this. On Saturday.
Hundreds.
The 27th. So just an idea, if you're looking for something to do on Saturday the 27th and you happen to be around in the area, this Penn State-Oregon football game could be a good one. Few folks seem to be interested. I would try to wear white and maybe, you know, if you have a little extra time, head up to the stadium a little early. Have a little food, maybe even if you're of age, an adult beverage, maybe even two.
Ooh.
Ahead of the game on Saturday night could get you into the right mood to help, I don't know, be a little more boisterous for the festivities of the game itself. Again, that'll be a 7:30 kickoff. Not this Saturday.
No.
Not this week.
No.
Not the 20th.
No.
This will be on the 27th, a week from Saturday.
Yes.
So just a little helpful tip from your old pal Ironhead if you're looking for something to do that day.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been looking ahead at the schedule.
All right.
That's what I do.
Okay.
And that's what we like to call sports.
You're good at killing time. I don't know
what you're talking about.
All right, a couple quick things. My Orioles swept the still woeful White Sox yesterday. Now, here's the deal for my birds. They got 10 games left.
Yeah.
Again, back in April and May, they got off to a horrible start, and they've been trying to dig out of this hole forever.
Well, the Pirates also got off to a horrible start. They just haven't tried
They kept digging their hole. That's the problem.
Yeah.
The Orioles would have to go 9-1 in their last 10 games to finish at .500. Now, that's a stretch, 9-1. And what?
The Pirates, if they can go 8-1 in their final 9 games, they will avoid the 90-loss mark for the season.
Okay. That's
what we're playing for in Pittsburgh now, is can we somehow, and the answer is no, they can't, but, I mean, at the moment, mathematically, they could still not have 90 losses on the season. More likely that they'll have like 95 before it's set.
They've lost 11 of their last 12?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Not looking good for your guys.
No, it isn't.
But for the Orioles, their last 10 games, 7 of them are against the Yankees.
Ah.
Very interesting. They've got a sort of a home and home
in
the span of a week and a half. So I don't know who made that schedule, but that's kind of interesting.
Pirates, meanwhile, if you're wondering, and I don't know why you would be, but they have the Athletics this week, and I like to call them the A's. It's like my shorthand name for them. Then they have the Red Stockings. I call them the Reds. And then they have the Braves to wrap up the season.
There you go.
Yawn.
We're all excited. Uh-huh. There we go. And final thought.
Yeah.
High school sports. Yeah. I've been the Penns Valley soccer announcer like forever.
Forever.
It's been a very long time.
Forever and ever.
And the girls had a huge win last night.
That was a pretty big win.
With Phillipsburg. I mean, I won't say everything went right, but it pretty much did. I mean, it really did. And, we cheer for championship teams, right? Oh, sure. They're going to win the league. They're going to go to the playoffs. They're going to be, okay, that's all fine. Penns Valley barely had a girls soccer team this year. They had to go convince a couple of girls or a few girls to join the team so they had enough girls to play. And I know my friends from Baldy Galeria had a similar situation. They were like, come on, you got to have a certain number of girls to play. We're going to have to go find a couple girls so we have enough girls for a team. And a lot of schools, especially in rural areas, for whatever reason, that's the problem they're dealing with right now. I don't know. It's girls. It's like, where have the girls gone? And so, frankly, when the season started a few weeks ago, Penns Valley wasn't very good. I mean, they weren't. All right. Last night, they were great. And it's exciting. Are they going to win their league? No, they're not going to win the league. But they have improved so much in the last, I'm going to say, 2 weeks that we're all excited. Here's a team that has grown and improved. No, they're not going to win championships. But it's great to see these girls come together and start playing some pretty darn good soccer. That makes me excited. I mean, when the season started, my thought was, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Then last night, I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's great to see, especially, high school, junior high, whatever level, when the things start to come together, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be really bad. And wait a minute, we're not too bad now. We're pretty good. Hey, we're improving. Parents, go out and cheer on your teams. All right, because when the kids get together and they start to put the things together, no, they might not win a championship. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is, A, the girls are having fun in this case, which they are. B, they're improving their game. C, they're starting to see results. I'm going to ring the bell for that. All right, I don't care which school you go to. They're not going to win a championship. But when the season's over, I think these girls are going to hang their heads high like, hey, we did pretty well.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, considering.
Okay, so I just wanted to mention that. That was exciting.
One other quick note. I forgot to mention. RAF 2, that's Real American Freestyle 2, of course, coming to Rec Hall on October 25th. They did announce that one of the matches on that card will be Nate Tomasello taking on Roman Bravo Young. Roman Bravo Young, two-time national champion for Penn State. Tomasello was a national champion for Ohio State. That's an intriguing matchup. That match has been set here, Tomasello and Bravo Young, as part of the card. They'll keep releasing the matches for that event again coming up at Rec Hall on October 25th. But Roman Bravo Young and Nathan Tomasello will be one of the matches. Already knew that Kyle Snyder and Mason Paris will also wrestle each other as part of that event. All right, that is a check of sports. We'll take a break here. You're listening to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
We don't just talk sports. The Fox. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
The Fox Sports Weekend
is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Now, a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing, and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. It is the penultimate day of the work week, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, there's that word again.
Yeah, we got that going for us. We'll have some open phone time in the final segment, about an hour from now. You can save your calls for that.
Yeah, next hour is all about free speech, and we're not sure what kind of free speech that's going to come out, so we'll see. Stay tuned for that. Right now, courtesy of our friends from Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, we want to welcome our friend Jason Narber from Brass 16823. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
That's a unique name, Brass 16823. Where'd that name come from?
So... our name comes from what the building originally was used for, which is a brass mill. At the time when it first opened, it was the only brass mill in Pennsylvania, and it actually was the largest in the country.
Wow.
And our 16823, that's our zip code, paying homage to the community we're in.
I thought that was a license plate number. No, it's a zip code. Tell us about you.
My background is a hot mess. It's all over the place. my path hasn't been linear whatsoever.
Jason, get in line, buddy. Yeah. All right. No, go ahead.
I grew up in the area, small family business, and then my family had a landscaping business. We had the Agway store going back in time years ago, and just kind of grew up here, ended up gone to school for horticulture. I have 2 degrees, and one's horticulture, one's floriculture. I was a florist for years, traveled all over the country doing parties and weddings. And that's kind of how I got in the event side of things. I worked for UPS for 10 years, did process improvement work with them. And then I also am a licensed massage therapist in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So, but now I'm doing what I'm doing and absolutely love it. I'm the director of operations for Brass 16823, and we're putting on some pretty cool events out there.
Jeff, he sounds like us. Yeah, I did this, I did this, I did this, yep. I did that. Although I've never been a massage therapist.
Yeah. Hey, my brain has never worked in one plane. It's always somewhere.
So in other words, if I'm a little stiff and tight, what do I lay on the floor and you like work me over or something? Or
I mean, we could try that.
No, we're not doing that. No. So what do you what do you do at Brass 16823?
So we do all kinds of events. Tonight, you can come out and do some line dancing with Lion Country Line Dancing. We have private events, weddings, parties. We had one of the coolest events we've had was with Penn State Civil Engineering. 19 universities came out and had a competition in bridge building. It was super cool to see. We've done corporate events. We had International Mountain Biking Association in, which was super cool because this area is a hotbed for mountain biking. So we kind of do anything out there, that can be used in the space, and, we don't have a lot of rules. So you can kind of do what you want.
Oh, you got the Iron Head's attention there. Okay.
Ding, I may have just opened Pandora's box.
Kind of an open-ended question, Matt, but how do you get the events that you put on there? Are you reaching out to folks, or folks reaching out to you? Is it a little bit of both?
So it's a combination of both. We're in the process. I was in New York City on Monday networking with different event planners from actually across the globe. We had a cool event yesterday. It was for CEDACOG, which is for economic development in the area, but they basically pair Pennsylvania businesses on the international stage. So for sourcing product or for selling product, import, export help. And they actually were talking about events could fall in that realm. So we're going to be talking to them about how to do that, utilize their services. But Happy Valley Adventure Bureau has been great. We work real closely with them. They get a lot of event requests, and they kind of push out to the different venues in the community, and really trying to help the tourism of the area. We have people who reach out. We network, and ultimately, the goal for our venue is really to grow this community. When we have an event that's from outside the area, it's hotels, it's restaurants, it's shops, people coming into the area and seeing how pretty awesome Center County and Happy Valley is.
Is the, without getting into the minutiae of the, I mean, are they renting, like, just renting the space from you, or are they... Are there services that you can provide if they're asking, and or do you collaborate with others? I'm just thinking through some of the things you're talking about. It's like, well, how does that actually get
so the answer
together?
Is yes, all of the above.
That's what I was wondering.
So we have services we can provide. We can help plan the whole process, set up, clean up, source everything. But one of the things, so in the process of my past, I got to see how venues operated all across the country. I saw the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And one of our big things is, when I said we don't have rules, you don't have to use a certain vendor. So what that does is it opened up the door. So let's say you want barbecue from a local business.
Yep.
You can bring that in. We're not going to say you can't do that, because for me, I mean, I didn't get this size by not eating, right? So I want the food that I want.
Brother.
And but if you look at different cultural backgrounds, you know, if you want authentic food for your wedding or for your event, you know, you can bring that in. We had a wedding where the groom was Peruvian. They brought a Peruvian food truck in from New York City.
Wow.
Like, so
that's cool.
It's just open.
Because
the thing is, when you have all those constraints, you can actually have your vision come to life.
Yeah.
So we leave it open. But we absolutely can provide all the services. We have sources all over. We'd like to deal with local businesses, and but you're more than welcome to bring anybody in you want.
Yeah, during the break, I was remarking to you, Jason, what's happened to that building is amazing and thrilling. I mean, when Titan closed, I figured this is going to rust to death. It's going to be an environmental hazard. It's going to be an eyesore. It's going to be awful. You and other folks have turned that into something really cool.
Yeah.
All right. I think you said how many businesses that you were counting?
There's a lot. Within that particular building, I think we're up to 8, not including all of the vendors that vend at Titan Market. So there's lots of little businesses within that. But then the whole complex, there's a lot. The last I counted on a spreadsheet that we had when we were doing some signage, I think it was 52.
Man, I had no idea.
There's lots of little pieces that are within that complex that just people just don't realize.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's been a neat process. I mean, there's so much history in that building. Mm-hmm. When you look back at the impact it had, not just on the center region, but across the nation, especially during World War II, there's some pretty cool history there. But like for me, there's a personal connection. My wife's grandfather worked there for 48 years.
Wow.
Okay. When it was in operation. And like it was pretty neat to go back through, and we like saw his office. And they used to actually have their own printing press called the Brass Log. And we were going through them. They're all digitized now. But we found an article that her grandfather wrote about my wife's uncle being flown back from Vietnam.
Wow.
Like it was there's some like cool connection to
phenomenal.
It. But one of the neat things is hearing people from the community come back and hearing the stories of my grandfather worked here, my father worked here, I worked here, and just seeing how connected it was with the community and now actually repurposing it and like paying homage to that history.
If folks want to find out what is happening there, or it's like, hey, I'm listening and I wonder if we could do this event there. How do they get hold of you?
So one of the easiest ways is to go to our website, www.brass16823.com. You can check us out there. There's lots of information on there. There's forms you can fill out. You can check our socials out at brass16823. Yeah, those are probably the easiest ways.
Fantastic. Right. Thank you for the time. I knew, obviously, it was revitalized. We've been out there a couple times. Was there for the CBICC event, I think it was. I don't even remember, over the summer. But I had no idea that it was quite had as many different businesses as involved. Just listening to you talk about some of the things going on out there, it's amazing how big of a part of the community that now is.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the Titan Park community working together on different events. You know, whether it's a corporate event where they'll have a cocktail hour at Titan Hollow and have their daytime programming in our facility, and then maybe lunch or dinner at Axeman Brewing. Like, it's a community out there, and really it's about supporting and building it as a group.
Love it.
Jason, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Folks, again, the website is brass16823.com. Good information there. And a cool place.
Very
cool. Really cool place. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to see what trouble we can get into. Yeah, free speech. Here we go with our guest from Fire. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
WFXX, once again. The Fox! Your sports radio!
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA's Sports Authority.
Woohoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, the Fox. It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of today's big show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk to probably the most bored man in America. All right, he's got nothing
that
to do.
Seems unlikely.
Nothing to talk about.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's we welcome back to our program Sean Stevens from the group FIRE, Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. First off, Sean, good morning. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I hope you guys are having a good morning.
And you're absolutely bored. You have nothing to do right now, right?
Yeah, it's been a slow couple weeks.
That'll pick here. Up at some point.
Oh, boy, Pinocchio, your nose is growing. I mean, first off, for longtime listeners, we've had Sean on the show before a couple times, primarily to talk about college free speech, because we happen to have a college like right over there, just kind of big. Sean, when we scheduled this appearance this morning, we were going to primarily talk about your latest college free speech rankings, which just got released like a week or two ago. And then the past week happened. And I tell you what, I'm going to lead with that. We'll leave the college stuff till later. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do that. First off, I follow you folks on social media, and let's start from scratch for maybe people that haven't heard you before. Tell us something, if you would, about yourself, your background, you know, what do you do, and FIRE. You're based in Philadelphia. Tell us about you, and then tell us about FIRE and what your group does.
Yes, I'm the chief research advisor at FIRE. I've been here since March of 2020. It's a story for another time, starting at a new place when it's in the middle of a lockdown. my background is in social political psychology. I got my PhD from Rutgers University in New Brunswick in 2013. My research in the academic world largely involved moral psychology, authoritarianism, psychology of censorship, and survey methodology. And then I landed at Heterodox Academy for a few years and then moved over to FIRE. And FIRE stands for the Foundation of Individual Rights and Expression, as we noted. We used to be the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, but we recently expanded that mission to basically focus on to protect the speech of all Americans and not just students and faculty on university campuses.
All right. And you've been a little busy lately. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think where to start here because this past week has been, I mean, it's been tragic. It's been insane. It's been coming from all directions and so on. I guess, Sean, let me start with this, all right? Now, this might seem like a really dumb question, but it really isn't. I want you to define free speech. We know it's in the First Amendment, freedom of speech. Boom, there it is. From your perspective or your organization's perspective, what is free speech?
Well, to make it very clear, like, you know, one of our favorite lines is, if it's protected, we'll defend it, no questions asked. So that does mean that there are certain categories of speech that are not protected by the First Amendment. Those are a lot smaller, I think, than most Americans think they are. This bucket's really limited to things like true threats that are going to, you know, incite imminent violence, harassment, child pornography. But the concept of hate speech, as most people understand it, has no legal definition in the United States, and most things that people label as hate speech or would put in that bucket are most likely protected.
All right. Now, folks, even if you've been living in a cave for the past week or two, everybody knows what happened with Charlie Kirk last week. So we don't need to rehash that. But what has happened since then, Sean, is partially stunning, partially like, holy mackerel, you know, that sort of stuff. And you mentioned it. Yeah, hate speech has shown up again. You want to define hate speech? Because I think the people that like to throw that phrase or that term around, they don't know what it means. Or they want it to mean something and they're trying to form it in a certain direction. What is, does hate speech even have a definition? Like it's totally bogus. What is it?
There's no legal definition of it in the United States. Other countries have hate speech laws. Many in Europe do, but we don't have a definition of that here. So, yeah, it's a term that it gets tossed around effectively to encapsulate speech I really don't like. And, you know, labeling it hateful kind of has that extra punch that it can hit someone and, you know, people can think of hateful rhetoric, maybe leading to violence, and then they want to see this stuff censored. But, yeah, there's no way to define it because, essentially, the reason we don't have this legal definition is no one can really agree on what would and would not be hate speech.
All right. Now, Sean, is there some place, I don't know, federal government, state government, local government, where somehow they actually have a hate speech law of some kind where they've cobbled together, well, if you do this, then this happens to you? I mean, anywhere in America, is there an actual hate speech law someplace? Or is this just a lot of fog? You know, it's not there. Maybe someplace has such a law. Do you know of any?
I don't offhand. It doesn't mean there isn't one somewhere on the books. But from my understanding, and, you know, I would refer you over to one of our attorneys to be sure on this, but from my understanding, that law would most likely be found to be unconstitutional once challenged.
So it's a lot of fog. It's not there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when our attorney general this week comes out with her now infamous line, well, there's free speech and there's hate speech, I'm thinking, this is the attorney general of the United States, and she's mentioning this. I mean, Sean, I don't understand why our so-called leaders, doesn't matter what direction they come from, left or right, doesn't matter, they still don't get it. I don't understand. Can you enlighten me somehow? How are people continuing to get that wrong?
Well, so I think there's opportunism in here, right? We're talking about, I mean, she's the Attorney General, but there's politicians and political parties involved. So I think there's some opportunism here about cultivating, amassing political power. You know, in the big picture of things, for a decade or so, we've heard about, you know, hate speech and all this stuff, and we've seen a lot of kind of bottom-up, grassroots ways of going after students, faculty, speakers on campuses. You know, this has started to filter onto the general public with, like, demands for people be fired because of something they said on social media or, you know, an article they wrote. But these have, you know, over the past decade, these were kind of more likely to come, you know, from people from the left of the expression. And basically it was more conservative speech getting labeled as hate speech by these people and targeted for censorship, and people were targeted for punishment. And what we've seen in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk, and I think it makes sense on some psychological levels, I've seen that flip on its head, and now the Republican Party and politicians affiliated with them and people affiliated with them who for years were kind of saying what I'm saying right now, like there is no legal definition of hate speech. It's protected by the First Amendment. That's very much changed in the aftermath of, you know, Charlie Kirk's assassination. I think that's part of their logic is, well, you guys were trying to get us fired for wanting to, like, cut taxes on the wealthy, and we're, you know, having a reaction to you celebrating political violence. I mean, it's a strong, it's a powerful argument, but legally it's doesn't have a leg to stand on.
All right, Sean, I'm just curious. This is an open-ended question. What's your last week been like? Either maybe not you personally. I'm talking about your group. I mean, give us an idea on some things that you've reacted to that have happened here just in the past week.
Yeah, so our rankings were released Tuesday. So we had been doing some talking to the press beforehand in the lead up to that because, you know, we had sent out some embargoed copies to people like you to read in advance. And then Wednesday happened, and we basically finished a webinar announcing them, you know, it was open to the public. It was originally just for kind of FIRE members, donors, and the faculty network, but we opened it to the public. We finished that, I think, around noon or so. Maybe it was 1. And then the news of the afternoon came in, and it's been a whirlwind ever since, both for me and the organization in general. We're seeing a lot of students and professors facing, you know, demands that they be fired, expelled, punished, et cetera, for things they put on social media about the assassination. We're seeing that happen a lot off campus as well. So our attorneys are quite busy. The research team has been really busy documenting the attempts going after faculty. So it's been a whirlwind, yeah.
Have you ever had a week like this before? I don't know, something else happened. I don't know, 9/11 or something. I don't know. Have you ever had a week like this before?
Yeah, probably the closest one. So I was an undergrad when 9/11 happened, so I wouldn't be able to tell you what it was like for FIRE back then, although FIRE was a lot smaller. We only had about like 6-8 employees back then. But that was definitely a crazy week or two. And then the only other thing that I think is in the same domain here, and probably pretty similar, is the aftermath of George Floyd in 2020.
Okay, that would make sense. All right.
Yeah.
Except that, okay, now that wasn't a week. I mean, do you recall, Sean? I mean, how long did that crazy, I mean, that started in, it was late May of 2020. How long did that craziness go?
In terms of the way this would play out with demands of, you know, sanctioning speech on campus, there was definitely like a lot first few weeks, but it was pretty steady through the summer, I would say. And then in the fall, it takes this different form because some campuses then, you know, kind of reopened and people were there in person and others weren't. So there weren't as many speaking events on campus in this time period. So they kind of dipped down censorship of speakers and things because really no one was there. And then that ratcheted up once people came back. But I'd say it at least lasted through the summer.
One of the things that has driven me crazy on these college campuses is the idea of a safe space, meaning you're safe from, well, this is my interpretation, you're safe from opposing viewpoints. You get to live in the little bubble, which on a college campus, is to me exactly the opposite. You should be inundated with ideas, both horrible and wonderful, and you should be able to, all right, let's see what all is out here, and this is what makes sense to me, and read through and make this argument and understand where that one's coming from. That should be the collegiate experience. After the Charlie Kirk situation, and I'm reading different people are reacting differently in terms of, all right, how do we handle these campus events moving forward? Because safe space now takes on a different connotation. Like, can we actually make sure it is safe for speakers to come and talk, hold events like Charlie Kirk had, in outdoor settings? And I think I saw a story. I just saw the headline. I didn't read through the story, but I think Ben Shapiro said, "Yeah, I'm done with the outdoor stuff. We'll have events, but it's going to be indoor. We're not because it is so hard from that safety standpoint to figure out how to make everything truly secure." Inside, you at least have more parameters that you can set in place. I'm just wondering, any thoughts on moving forward, the idea of outdoor discussions, debates, whatever, outdoor events where ideas can be exchanged. Does it feel like that may be going away here in large part because of what happened last week?
I think in the short term you will see both speakers, invited speakers or organizations that are putting on the events and the colleges and universities themselves be, they're going to display a degree of reluctance, certainly to hold outdoor events. That's something we commented on and we have. Hasn't happened. None of this has happened yet, but a concern FIRE would have there is the use of charging the student organization security fees to put on an event is that occurs sometimes. What we've seen happen sometimes is schools charging excessive fees when they didn't want to speak. You're coming, but it's like they weren't going to cancel them, and it's kind of a way of getting the organization to do it because they wouldn't be able to afford the fees. Sometimes this will result in a lawsuit, and if it's the university, if it's a public university, they have a responsibility to ensure that the event goes off safely and protect everyone there. So I can certainly see them being, frowning upon outdoor events in the immediate future and using that as potentially a way to limit some forms of some speakers on campus. But I could see reasonably these student organizations and speakers themselves. I mean, what Ben Shapiro said doesn't sound unreasonable in light of what happened.
Now, Sean, we'll take a break in a moment. Now, Sean, just in the past week, because you guys follow this, have you seen any colleges or universities that have somehow changed their policies on anything speech-related in the past week? I don't know, that seems awfully fast, but have you guys seen any information like that so far?
It would be pretty quick, but it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. I don't know off the top of my head of any, but I'm not one of the attorneys. Like, our policy reform team would have the answer to that. I do know we were reached out to recently about a new demonstration policy at Yale, but I don't know if that was passed before or after the assassination.
Okay. I mean, part of this is I'm stunned, Sean, how many people have lost their jobs in the past week.
Mm-hmm.
The two that stick out are, I guess, a restaurant manager guy in Florida lost his job as a restaurant manager because of something his wife posted on social media in the past few days. Are you familiar with that one?
Vaguely, but yes, I did hear about this one. I mean, we've had some other cases like that in the past that involved faculty where it's the spouse who actually said something or was the, you know, the had the controversial speech, and then that person was also targeted. So those are pretty egregious, yeah.
Yeah. Now, last night, Jimmy Kimmel, the late-night talk show guy, got canned by ABC because of something he said, I guess, on his Monday night show or something. Now, Jimmy Kimmel, famous big media figure and so on. I don't know. Is fire going to take some kind of, I don't know, position on Jimmy Kimmel suddenly being sidelined? Is that in the cards for you guys?
Well, there'll likely be a comment. What I can say about it is what it looks like is the network caved to the comments of the FCC. We would have liked to have seen them not do that. But, you know, they're a private company, and so they can do that if they want. But we certainly, in honoring a culture of free speech, would have liked to have seen the network defend its on-air talent you might not like what he said, but, I mean, it was, I don't know, to me a fairly benign comment compared to some of the other ones that have been out there this week.
All right, we're going to take a break. Sean Stevens is our guest from the group FIRE, Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. We'll take a break. Now, again, when we originally scheduled Sean, we were going to talk about their new college free speech rankings, which they just released last week, and then, boom, this other stuff happens. So we're going to take a break. We're going to find out about the latest free speech rankings. Worst Penn State in this gig, and so on. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
The Fox Sports Weekend
is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Seasons change, and so does the equipment you need to handle those changes. From mowing to harvesting and taking care of snow, Dodder Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 has what you need to get it done. Still doing construction? Kubota has all the equipment you need. For landscaping, Dodder Equipment has what you need with equipment from Kubota, Steel, and Land Pride. The outdoors isn't all work and no play. Kubota, Honda Power Sports, and Suzuki have that fun covered too. And Dodder Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 has them all. Want to keep your home warm and cozy? Check out the Crown Royal Outdoor Furnaces. If you're cutting your own firewood, Dodder Equipment is your steel dealer with a saw that fits your needs perfectly. Dodder Equipment for Kubota, Honda Power Sports, Suzuki, Land Pride, Steel, Crown Royal Outdoor Furnaces, and a great selection of trailers and accessories. See it all now at Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us online at DodderEquipment.com.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you again. We'll have a little open phone time in the final segment of the big show this morning.
Again, we're talking with Sean Stevens from FIRE, Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. All right, Sean, before we get to the rankings, you got to help me out here, and shame on me. I should remember where I got this, because I have a quote. I want to read this quote. Because when I saw this quote, it's just two sentences from you guys, from you folks. I don't know. I can't remember if I got it from your website. I'm on your email list. Maybe I got it from an email. I just remember I saw it. I was struck by it. I copied it, and I wrote it down. And so I'm going to read this because I think it's perfect. And then you can tell me or remind me where this came from, all right? But the quote is, this is from you folks. The quote is this. It says, "A free society must give breathing space to speech some find hateful in order to avoid thought control and the silencing of unpopular views by the government. Instead of stifling free speech, we have the power to most effectively answer hateful speech through protest, mockery, debate, questioning, silence, or by simply walking away." Sean, where did that come from? I can't remember where I lifted that from.
It looks like it is under a section on our website that might discuss what speech is and is not protected under the First Amendment.
Okay. A suggestion, Sean, take that two-sentence quote, make signs out of it, make posters out of it, distribute them everywhere you can distribute them. Because for me, that two sentences, it sums up everything. I mean, whoever wrote that is a genius. It's perfect, you know? And again, the last part, simply walking away. Sean, this is a stupid question. Why can't people simply just walk away when they encounter something they don't like?
It's a very good question. I kind of remember coming of age in the 80s and 90s, and you know, Don Imus and Howard Stern were popular on talk radio back then. And a very common refrain is like, why can't you just change the channel or something? And you know, I think the Utah governor hit on this past week. He's like, get offline, just stop for a second. You don't have to weigh in on every issue of the day, or you don't have to weigh in on every offensive thing that scrolls by you on the internet now.
All right, an opinion, Sean. How much of this really is tied to social media? That it's just, I've heard it called a sewer, I've heard it called a cesspool, I've heard it called some other words that we won't use in the show. How much of this really, your opinion, how much of this is tied to social media, this insanity we're dealing with right now?
I think it has a fairly big role for a couple reasons. I think we've talked about this before on the show. You know, our human psychology is, you know, best fit in small communities of like 150 to 200 people. The way we can feel like we're part of a group. And you know, like, and that we belong with others, but we still feel like we can distinguish ourselves and stand out in our individual ways. So social media just blows that entirely up, and you're now in touch with like everyone across the world. Who, some of these people share your values, some of them don't, and so you're just now going to be flooded with a lot more things. So in one way, there's more speech, right? Because anybody can just put stuff out there. But it's psychologically, I find this to be, it's probably overwhelming for a lot of people. And then when you add in on things like Facebook, X, TikTok, all these, whatever outlet it is, the ability of the user to kind of curate what they are and they're not exposed to. I think when you, in terms of how this plays out at colleges, when you have a generation that has come of age and their social interaction has occurred far more through social media than it did for earlier generations, it might be very surprising to land in a college classroom and now you can't fully curate the environment. So I think that has a lot to do with what's going on campuses. And then what we're seeing now in the aftermath of the assassination is effectively, you know, one political party movement, now it's the Republicans and then the conservative side. They're basically using the same tactics that were weaponized against them for like the past decade, and how they're going after the speech they don't like now.
Yeah, cancel culture goes both ways. Yeah. We now have definitive evidence. All right, and there's no more argument anymore. I mean, Sean, what's the answer here besides turn it off? I remember back in the 80s, because I'm old enough to remember, Nancy Reagan, drugs, it was just say no. And I remember she was mocked by a lot of my people, like, oh, that's ridiculous, just say no. So, you know, here we have social media, just turn it off. Well, some people clearly can't do that. Are there any other solutions, Sean, or are we just going to drown in the sewer? What do you think there?
Well, I would like the solutions to be bottom up. You know, the libertarian streak in me wouldn't want to see this come heavy-handed from the government.
Amen.
But we're already seeing states kind of, you know, there's bills in a number of states that are advancing that are going to attempt to regulate both social media and artificial intelligence. We actually see this as potentially the next really big landscape in freedom of speech and in freedom of speech case law, because there's a lot of unknowns here, and this is kind of where the landscape is going. But I would certainly prefer that it comes from the people and us deciding. You know, I years ago basically decided, like, I certainly will scroll through Facebook, see what my friends are doing. I read Twitter posts, stay up on the news and things that happen, but I rarely, if ever, engage or post anything. And I found I'm a lot happier for it.
How about that? All right, let's talk about your latest college free speech rankings. Now, you folks do this every September. Again, ironically, it came out last week, a day before all this hit. And so I saw it, Sean, and the first thing let's get a definition here. College free speech.
Yeah.
All right, maybe the whole reason you do these rankings in the first place. Give us a definition of, I don't know, good college free speech. What are you guys looking for with this?
Yeah, so we want the campuses to be spaces of open inquiry, you know, diverse ideas, ability to express one's views, and also that because of its kind of unique setup and role, it can very much model how civic discussion can occur on these very charged, controversial issues. So we want colleges and universities to work to create that space for students and faculty. Faculty also have a role. They have to model, they have to structure and model their classrooms well and model discourse for the students. Students are going to come in and they're going to demand censorship of things. There's going to be speech controversies. So it's more on the role of faculty and administrators to kind of set the tone. And so part of that is also all these schools have policies on the books about speech, you know, what's protected here, what doesn't fall under, you know, protected guidelines. At a public university, First Amendment applies. They have to follow it. Private university, they don't necessarily have to, but most of them have made contractual agreements either through their student and faculty handbooks or just statements and policies they've put on their website or in their code of conduct. So they then become beholden to basically the same thing that public schools have to do, and they have to follow the First Amendment. So basically, we want schools to kind of have their policies on the books that are clear that they're going to protect freedom of speech. We'd even like to see them, you know, take some proactive stances and say, like, we're going to have a stance of institutional neutrality. Like, we aren't going to take official positions as a university on controversial political topics. Those things send that doing that sends at least a signal, we think, to students and faculty of this is a more open environment compared to ones where they might have arbitrarily worded speech codes on the books that they then apply to some groups and not others, or they have speech policies that are clearly in violation of the First Amendment.
Now, to be fair, you guys don't have every college in America on this list. I think you have like around 260. Why those? How did you get your results?
Yeah, so we try to add schools every year. Ideally, we would survey all the schools that we've given spotlight policy ratings to. So that's the speech code policies. So we've done about 500 of those across the country. So we'd love to at least have all of those. There's a few limitations. We have a survey partner, College Pulse. They have individual panels at each of these schools. Very important for us to know, like, the student is coming from specific schools if we're going to rank them. So one reason a school may not make it into the rankings is they might not have a feasible panel of students, which means they don't have enough for us to get an adequate sample. Other ways that schools get included or excluded is, you know, we started with, like, let's just get, like, most of, like, the top R1 research universities, you know, based on U.S. News World Reports. So get the Ivies, the elite privates, and get your top-tier flagship public state universities. So that was kind of year one. Year two, we filled that out with the remaining ones that we kind of didn't get in year one, and we added some top-tier liberal arts colleges. And then years three and going forward, we just try to look at, you know, who have we rated. We're looking kind of regionally. We're trying to get fairly good regional coverage. We want to have we now have schools in all 50 states. We're missing, like, one or two, I think, flagship state university systems. We'd like to get those. It's like in the Dakotas, because they're kind of smaller. But it's mainly if it's feasible, and then there's, you know, if we can afford it. It's a fairly expensive survey, so we have to, like, raise enough money to, you know, pay for all the schools.
Well, paying the bills, that's kind of important. Yeah. All right.
So, yeah, practical concerns come in there where we actually, you know, we got to pay the bills for it. So.
All right, I get that. Now, Sean, the first thing, obviously, we got Penn State in the backyard here. The first thing I noticed is, comparing last year to this year, Penn State shot up the charts. Like, wow. Last year, they were not good. They were definitely at the wrong end of your spectrum. This time, I mean, I just like, wow, what a shot up. I don't know if you have that information in front of you, but why has Penn State shot up the charts so high?
Yeah, so they definitely improved. The dip over the last few, they've kind of improved basically to where they were back in 2021. So there's still a lot of room for improvement. But the dip over the last few years was due to, there were a handful of controversies on campus. You know, like speaker shout-downs, attempts to get people disinvited, things like that. That were negatively impacting their score. Most of these, we set these to have an impact, and then they decay over time. Because the idea is, you know, let's say there's like a violent disruption of an event, like windows are broken, fire alarm is pulled, speaker has to be escorted off campus by police. This happened at a handful of universities. That would be if that happened in, you know, this year, that would be a 5-point penalty on a university. The next year it would reduce by a point. Basically, then would reduce by a point each year until it falls off. Our thinking there is, you know, a violent disruption is pretty memorable and probably going to stick for a while and impact the campus climate far more than what might even be like a kind of PR response where it's like, hey, there's been complaints about this professor. Some people want him fired, and it's like, yeah, we're investigating. that's not as severe of a penalty, because we don't really see them saying we're going to investigate this as equal to a violent disruption of a speaking event. But so they basically had a number of penalties to K off, and there's really only one here, so that helped a lot.
All right, so roughly speaking, I mean, last year Penn State was like number 220 on this list. This year you have them at number 109, which that's great. All right.
Yep.
Now my next question, though, Sean, is you still have them listed as an F. You give them an F. Why do they get an F?
Well, yeah, I mean, so they're with the majority of schools. And so a big reason for this is most schools aren't doing the bare minimum to protect speech, and that goes back to the policies we've been talking about. If Penn State had a green light rating from us, which would be, you know, that's our best speech policy rating, doesn't mean that they're still, like, you know, they're going to be perfect, but if they had that, they would not have an F. They'd be close to getting into the C range, actually.
Okay.
So, right there, the low-hanging fruit would be policy reform to move up in the rankings. But I do also see that, and again, although there's still a lot of room for improvement on a number of the survey components, they did improve this year.
All right. I mean, to be fair, below the number 90 school, everybody on this list gets an F.
Yeah.
They all get
an F. That's what I was kind of getting at, is the majority of schools across the country we would classify as not doing as failing on this, and a large part of it is because they don't do that bare minimum policy-wise. If they did that, I mean, I'm not saying everybody would all of a sudden be in the BA range, but the average would be closer to what you'd expect, like a C.
Now, Mr. Ironhead, if you're interested, Penn State beats out Ohio State on this list.
Well, we got that going for us. Take that, Buckeyes.
Woo-hoo-hoo. All right. Now, Sean, I'm sure everybody looks at the two ends. So who, in your opinion, the top schools that do a really good job, or at least a decent job, with free speech, I don't know, like the top several, who would they be?
Yeah, I'll mention our top five are all consistently strong performers in the rankings. And then I'll mention like maybe one or two others that I think are good examples. So the top five are Claremont McKenna College. This is a small liberal arts school in California. They're very interesting. I'll return to them after I reel off the other four. Purdue University is number two.
That's Big
University
10.
Of Chicago.
Big 10, yep, right there.
University,
okay,
of Chicago.
All right, go ahead.
University of Chicago is number three. Michigan Tech is number four. And University of Colorado at Boulder is number five.
All right, now what about Claremont McKenna? What's special about them?
So I don't necessarily know what it is they are doing to get these results from the survey in terms of like what they're doing in educating their students. What's very interesting about them is they're part of a consortium of four other schools. So they're called the Claremont Colleges, but they're then each – there's five separate institutions who effectively share like this large campus, but then they each kind of have their own specific section of it. The other four Claremont Colleges are mediocre to very poor. So that's something that is just interesting to me in general, because it's like, what? How is this one doing so well while the other ones aren't? And then when you dig under the hood a little deeper, they're in the top 50 on basically every survey component, and in the top 10 on almost all of them. They have the green light spotlight rating, and they've endorsed institutional neutrality. They did that well before October 7th happened a few years ago, which most schools did not do. So they've long been a policy leader. I don't know exactly what goes on there as to why that is. I've spoken to a few people on the campus, and they convey that the school's administration really does prioritize the diversity of thought angle and in ways that the other four Claremont colleges don't seem to. But that's what I got. I don't necessarily know why they do so well, but they're doing something right, and that would be an area, if anyone's interested, that's an area for people to look to figure out maybe what others should do. I'd also want to give a brief shout-out to Vanderbilt, who, like Claremont McKenna, was a longtime leader on policy. And then this year they reformed their final yellow-white policy, so they got a green-white rating. So they're now number 7.
All right, now let's go to the other end. Now, I remember, Sean, we had you on, like, I don't know, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. You told us that if you could, you would have given Harvard a negative number. They were so bad. Harvard is not at the bottom, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody else is.
No. Yeah. So Harvard, there's some signs of life and some positive things going on there. There still are plenty of controversies, and they're not always handled way we'd like, but we think that there's been some sign of hope there and improvement. But our bottom five are, and I'll go in reverse order, so we'll save the worst for last. Bottom five are Northeastern University up in Boston, the University of Washington,
Big Ten,
Seattle, yep, University of Indiana, Big Ten,
the Hoosiers. Wow.
Yeah, and then second worst is Columbia University. That's for the second year in a row. And I'll note that they were the worst school before Harvard was the worst for the past 2 years, so their track record is pretty poor. And then I can do like a mini little drum roll, I guess, but the worst college for free speech in America this year is Columbia's neighbor across the street, Barnard College.
Oh, boy.
So this must be a New York thing.
Well, both of those schools were the epicenter of the encampment protests, and they've also just since the October 7th, you know, attacks in 2023 have had a lot of student, faculty, speaker controversy, et cetera, happening on campus. The students at both schools are very unhappy with the administration there. Barnard's administrative support score, that's one of our survey components, lowest ever this year, 4 standard deviations below the national average. Columbia's was second worst, and they were much better than Barnard, but they were still 2 standard deviations below the national average.
Ooh, that's bad. All right, one other quick question, Sean. I just find it interesting. Now, obviously, Penn State's in the Big Ten. You've got Purdue University, like, number 2, which is good, and you've got the Hoosiers, Indiana, 3rd from the bottom. What do you know what's going on at Indiana? Why are they so bad?
Yeah. Oh, I can – we could do a whole segment on that probably.
Keep it to 30 seconds. Go ahead. Why are they so bad?
So there's been a lot that's happened there over the past few years. But primarily, I think why they did so badly this year is their response to the encampment protests was to pass an 11th-hour policy change the night before students were about to set it up, banning structures on campus, erecting structures on campus. The students then go to do this in this location that's been revered as a place of protest. Indiana, and 40 years ago, there was an encampment protest there in the 80s, and they were, like, totally okay with it. And so what happened in 2024 was the university called in the state police to break up the encampment under this new policy. State police thought it was a good idea to put snipers on the roof of a building, and the students definitely noticed.
Ooh. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, I think we all agree that that's probably not a good thing for freedom of expression on it.
Oh, for goodness sake, snipers? Oh, for Lord's sakes, that's insane. All right, Sean, I tell you what, we could go for another hour, but we're out of time. folks, check out Fire Online, thefire.org. Lots of great information there. Sean, I'm going to guess we'll probably have you on again sometime, but keep, for all this free speech debate going on right now, I guess keep on keeping the faith, because we need folks to keep pointing out this nutty stuff that people keep doing. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, you're welcome. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll have maybe a couple of minutes. We have an open line program tomorrow, by the way. Plenty of time. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
It's Let's Talk here. Just a couple minutes remaining on this Thursday morning edition. Beautiful Thursday in play. Again, the phone line is open if you want to get chime in with that final call for the day, 814-954-7266. Department of Corrections making the final recommendation to go ahead and close Rockview and Quijana Boot Camp. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Yeah, that was interesting, the last few minutes about what pulled down Indiana. I got thinking about Bill O'Reilly. He made two stops in Center County, made a stop in Pleasant Gap. There was a case that went to the Supreme Court because my neighbor was cutting the grass in his Speedo. I don't know if you remember that. You know, you have a right to privacy on your property, but he took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And then the other was Bill showed up for some type of sexual expression, and there was like the tent that you went in, and you made a sexual agreement, and this seems like a brothel, but compared to the tents we have around the stadium. So I didn't realize bivouacking can pull down your overall ranking, you know, with freedom of speech. But, you know, I'm thinking back to the World War One vets, you know, when they were trying to get their pension during the Depression, and they bivouacked outside of Washington.
Yeah.
And they sent in General MacArthur with saber in hand and chased off the vets. But, yeah, that's kind of interesting. I hadn't thought about that, you know, freedom of expression and setting up an encampment.
How about that?
So,
okay.
Well, I'm looking forward to a follow-up. Interesting guy.
All right. Yeah, very. It's always, for your call. Always good to hear from him. It's the number of people that I just don't think understand what free speech actually means is disheartening. And Again, Pam Bondi's comments this week just, it's not good. Caller, I see you're calling in. We are truly out of time. Please.
Tomorrow.
Give us a ring tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. But by the time we said hello and you said, hey, good morning,
we'd be out of time
at the end of the program, which is where we are at. We do hope that you get out and enjoy this Thursday. And we will be back to get you ready for the 3-day party weekend tomorrow morning.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox.
Fox Sports.